Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey everybody, Ryan here. For those of you who have been following Summer in the Skies for over 340 episodes, first of all, my utmost thanks and appreciation goes out to every single person who has ever listened to the show. It's clear my passion for UFOs is comparable to yours, and we will always continue to search for answers somewhere in the skies. But the reason I'm here today is to introduce you to a brand new podcast that I'm co-hosting, that I hope you'll give this premiere episode a listen to. The world of professional wrestling is unlike any other. It's a communion between these larger-than-life heroes and villains, or as we call them, baby faces and heels, and the fans who support them. Both myself and my good friend Andrew Sanford are rabid pro wrestling fans, so we decided to start a podcast called Somewhere in the Ring. The podcast will attempt to bridge the gap between wrestlers and fans, and we'll also talk about something we not only grew up loving, but love even more today. Whether it's the history of wrestlers and companies, reviews of events and matches, interviews with wrestlers, announcers, and managers, the latest news and rumors, or just a good old-fashioned debate. It all takes place somewhere in the ring. So, as my Summer in the Skies listeners, and those who love UFOs, I hope you'll give this premiere episode a chance. And I hope you'll consider subscribing to Somewhere in the Ring, wherever you get your podcasts, or on the Somewhere in the Ring YouTube channel. We've got all the usual social media links in the show notes, and you can reach out to us at our official website, somewhereinthering.com. Thank you so much for your continued support of Somewhere in the Skies. But for now, let's talk wrestling, somewhere in the ring.
The following podcast is scheduled for one recording with no time limit. Making their way down to Somewhere in the Ring, Andrew Sanford and Ryan Sprague.
Here we go, guys. Welcome to Somewhere in the Ring. I am Ryan Sprague, and with me is
Andrew Sanford. I'm sorry, I started to take a sip of kombucha right when you were going to introduce me. So that's my fault. Hello. Hi. We're off great.
Wow.
We're starting off great.
Coming out strong. Just like X-Pac, I guess. I don't know.
If that helps you, absolutely. Yep,
it does.
Just like X-Pac.
It's going to get me through that botched beginning to our podcast, Andrew.
Yeah, specifically X-Pac in X-Factor era coming out to Uncle Cracker, I believe what it was, or at least an Uncle Cracker sounded like that. I got everything I ever wanted, and I'll never get that back. I know you hate X Factor, but you ain't gotta look at me like that. That is just pulled out of my memory.
Damn impressive.
I don't know how to do my taxes, okay? Like, I don't.
Does anybody? That's why we pay people to do that. Come on.
Okay, we're getting lost here. What are we? Who are we? What are we doing?
Welcome
here?
To Somewhere in the Ring, a wrestling podcast. This is our quote unquote premiere episode. Andrew, do you want to run through what kind of happened with all of that?
Let's
be fully transparent with our listeners right off the bat.
I love that. We reached out to a bunch of people ahead of time on our Facebook group, which you should absolutely join. We got a lovely community of folks going on over there. And we asked for listener questions, and we did some news, and we did all these like little beats and tried to introduce people to us, which we'll keep doing throughout the episodes. But long story short, we recorded that almost 2 weeks ago, like maybe even a week and a half ago, something like that. And It's the news bits weren't as relevant anymore. And we want to stay up to date. We want to stay relevant. And so this will be our official premiere episode. That being said, we are going to get clips from the original episode out there, again, likely on the Facebook group where we got a lot of the questions, and on our YouTube channel, so that it will be out there in one form or another. We might release the episode proper at some point, but we just wanted to start fresh. That episode helped get us with the E1 Podcast Network, so it was still very helpful, and we're very grateful, so we're not just going to dismiss it. But we wanted to keep going. We didn't want to release that episode 2.5 weeks after it came out. So here we are, starting over. And we've got plenty of good show to go, and we've got some more listener questions, and we're going to get those other questions out there. So, again, we'll get it out there in one form or another, and we're so grateful and so thankful that people wrote in questions and sent in audio clips, and we've got some more audio clips today. But we want to talk about wrestling. We want to talk about current wrestling. And some older stuff. And to do that, we just got to keep moving, baby. We got to keep going.
Keep moving, my man.
Yeah.
I mean, let's look at something like WWF, the longest running syndicated thing like ever.
Sure.
Let's be
sure.
Completely honest. Live event.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, we want to stay current. We want to stay current. But like you mentioned, you know, we kind of went into our history with wrestling, who mm-hmm. we are, why we started the podcast. You will hear all of that in those clips and that episode yeah. eventually. But we want to start fresh today. We've got some awesome, awesome news stories. But before we do that, let's tell people where they can find us. You can find us, guys, on Facebook. Just go to Facebook, look for our group, highly interactive group over there. Just type in Somewhere in the Ring podcast and you can find us there. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. Just look for Somewhere in the Ring as well.
Yes.
But yeah, that we'll be posting all the latest news and headlines over on those social media outlets.
And this week I will begin streaming WWE 2K24. Yes. On our YouTube channel. That is the plan. There is a chance I might do it on Twitch, but then I think I'd have to get a whole headset. I think streaming on Twitch would probably be easier, but I want to be able to do video and stuff too and stream directly to the YouTube channel, and then it will stay up on our YouTube channel. So head over to, we'll probably put some posts on Facebook and Twitter as to when that will be happening. But that will be happening this week, and my goal is to just do it every Wednesday when we release the show, so you all can sit in, ask me questions, and watch me play wrestling video games, which is is one of my favorite things to do in the world. So please come join me. We'll have fun. We'll talk more wrestling. We'll talk more show. And yeah, there are ways to find us.
Yes. Love it. Love it. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like I said, guys, this is a community that we want to build here of just wrestling fans. Andrew and I like to stress we are not experts. We are lovers.
Yes.
Of right. wrestling. Of We're that. Lovers in other ways, too.
I would say. Look, man. Yeah. Let's not be shy. so, yeah. Should we just dive in? Get into some news?
Let's do it.
Talk about what's going on.
One thing before that. I see if you're watching the YouTube version of this, the video version, you have, what is that behind you? A title belt?
Oh, that is the Undisputed WWE title from the early 2000s. The Brock Lesnar, we don't talk about him. The Undertaker era, we'll say. I remember watching, I think Undertaker got it for the first time when he beat Hulk Hogan for it, or returning Hulk Hogan, or maybe they would have just wrestled for it. It was happening during a draft. I've had this for about 20 years, which you can tell because it's a little frayed, and it's got my wrestling name played on there. It says Heavy A. You can't super see that, but that's a name I'm still wrestling with. Doesn't matter. Pun intended. but yes, I've got this belt. Why do you ask, Ryan?
Oh, well, I thought it would only be appropriate for me to also have a title belt. So as soon as we started recording and getting some mini episodes also in the can, which we'll share with you guys in the future, I said, I got to get a belt. I got to get a belt for my shelf back here. Mm-hmm. So I hopped online, as I do. I am an online shopper. And I needed a life-size title belt. I needed it. I needed it. I needed it. So what did I do? I ordered it off of eBay. And it came this morning, Andrew. So I wanted you to be the first to see it if I could.
Please. Hold on. Right, what do we got? On.
Could you hand that to me? Thank you.
Hi, Jane.
All right. You ready?
Yes. Lay it on me. Let me see.
This is what I get for online shopping.
Oh, my. Oh, no. Wait, did you think you were getting a regular one?
Dude, it did not say the size, the dimensions, nothing on the website. So I was so excited. And lo and behold, I'm waiting at the door today because they said, you know, you're expecting a package today. And usually, you know, they knock. I have to open the door for larger packages. They shoot something through my mail slot in my door. And I'm like, what is this? So I look down and there's an envelope. And I'm like, who sent me a letter? Who's writing handwritten letters these days? Or maybe it was a bill of some kind. So I, you know, just don't even think about it. I start tearing it open. And then I'm like, oh, my God, no. Please, no, please, no. There's only one thing I was expecting. And I reach in and here it is, baby. Here's my title belt.
I love that so much.
For those of you watching, or I should say listening, this thing is probably the size of my index finger.
Yeah, that's clearly an action figure belt. But yes, not, and I, you know what? I remember when my brothers and I were much younger, this is again, probably 25, 26 years ago. They didn't make belts for the toys yet, so we ordered. My older brother ordered like laminated, like paper ones that had like Velcro on them and stuff like that. Nice. So it's wild to see how those belts have progressed. But I'm so sorry.
That's what I get for shopping online. I have not learned my lesson to read the fine print. So I will. I have learned.
How much did it cost you?
$10.
Oh, okay. Oh, so, okay. All right.
That's so shouldn't I have known it wasn't like a life-size belt? I thought I was just getting a really good deal. Let's be honest. Yeah. But hey, dude, like, I'm going to be honest. The craftsmanship on this thing is incredible. So whoever designed this and also scammed me, congratulations. You are an artist, a true artist and con artist.
I wonder, I might have one of those laying around that came with a certain figure. I'll have to see if I can find it. Because I believe that, like, I think they really started to get into like the belts looking more official when Mattel took over. I could be wrong about that, but Mattel does a great job with those figures. So, but that's incredible. Look, it's right at home. It still works.
It works.
It's the Attitude Era one. So, you know.
Exactly. I have my own action figure as well.
Belt's got to go on that figure.
It'll be on there by next episode. I promise. Excellent. All right. Now, enough of that. Let's get into the current news, Andrew. Where should we start?
Oh, let's start with our boy, John Cena. Can we start with John Cena? Let's start.
Absolutely.
With John Cena. So here we have John Cena and MJF at the premiere of Iron Claw, the Iron Claw, something we will talk about at one point or another once it releases on DVD or Blu-ray later this month. I absolutely love that movie. Spoiler alert. But John Cena revealed recently that when he met MJF at the premiere for this film, he told him, like, we got to get you over to the good side. I think he said the good side. Like, he like wanted to get you over to the right team. He wants to get MJF into the WWE, which I would be so humongous and would be so great. MJF is one of the best wrestlers working. I think that is undeniable. I am interested in how long he will be. Like, he's a young guy. I think he's probably like 26, 27, something like that. I might be wrong, but I believe he's younger, and he's already taken some breaks to do some acting, to go and do some movies. And now is the time to, like, you know, to do that kind of stuff. So we'll see how his wrestling career plays out in the coming years. But if we were to jump over to the WWE, it would be a boon for the WWE. I don't know how that would affect AEW. I feel like he's kind of their marquee star currently, and a homegrown one at that. So, yeah, it was exciting to hear that. It was exciting to hear Cena be so brazen about it and just say that that's what he had said to MJF. And I don't know, thoughts? I'm just like, oh, who do I want to see MJF wrestle? Kofi is probably up there for me. Bobby Lashley. Seth Rollins. We could see him wrestle CM Punk again because they had some incredible matches over in AEW. The possibilities are endless, and I think he is just... Look, he's one of the best at what he does. And when you have a promotion like the WWE, you want the best when you can get them. And I am genuinely curious to see how the next year or so plays out, because I think the rumor for a while was that his contract runs out in 2024 or 2025. So,
right. Yeah. Well, and you know, like we have mentioned several times in our other recording that people will hear. We will be covering primarily WWE. Mm-hmm. However, we're going to dip into AEW because it does seem more and more that, the competition is getting back on more of a level. I mean, we're seeing AEW kind of dipped for a while, I think, in terms of ratings, in terms of quality. But I do feel like they're back. They're on an upturn. You know, you've got a bunch of new people going in. You've got... Yeah. What's her name heading over there this week, I think.
Oh, yeah. Mercedes Moné. Yep. And it's such an incredibly smart move for her. And she actually said, too, that she sees herself being back in WWE at some point or another. But there's nothing WWE can do for her right now. Right. Like, there is a ceiling she can break through over in AEW. And to that point, I don't know if there's much left for MJF to do in AEW. Aside from maybe, I won't try to say the new wrestler that AEW just hired from New Japan because I don't know it off the top of my head, but they definitely are pitching themselves as more of like an international wrestling audience type brand, and also to some of the more hardcore people watching Ring of Honor, which AEW owns, and watching New Japan Wrestling, and they're trying to reach all over. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out for them. But I do think that MJF just kind of, because it was undeniable that he was the best there, they just fired him up to the top. And Cody Rhodes, I think, kept himself from getting that world title for a reason over there, because that ceiling, it can get hit too quick. Yeah. And you just run out of stuff. But now they've got other places to go. So very excited about that. That was one of my favorite things to come up recently.
Absolutely.
Cena just being like, we want him.
I hope we get him. Yeah. I hope we get Cena too at WrestleMania 40. I know there's rumors and speculation.
He straight up said too he'd be available. The only thing that makes me nervous is I think he hurt himself pretty bad last time he wrestled. The man is not, he's in actor shape now. You can look at him in the picture we're looking at now. His suit fits normally. So he's not about to break through it. I think he hurt both his shoulders last time that he wrestled or something like that. I could be wrong, but
I want to say the last time he wrestled was against Solo at what was the event in the Middle East?
Is that Survivor Series? Oh, was it one of the Saudi Arabia shows?
It was rough. He took a beating to try to put Solo over, but that's a story for another time. Well, a story for now that we should cover, Andrew, I think, is the slap heard around the world this past week as we're recording.
That still is horrifying. It looks like, for those who can't see it, it looks like Cody Rhodes and The Rock's face are melding together, which I guess kind of happened. And I love Roman kind of smiling in the background too.
Right.
I was working on Friday night, but I was home literally walking down the street and from the bus having watched this. And I was walking through the front door when this happened. And I was like, whoa, The Rock is doing some of the best work he's done in decades right now.
Absolutely.
And there's something about these promos between him and Roman Reigns against Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins have gotten incredibly personal. I'm sure they have all agreed to that. But with The Rock saying certain things on Instagram, doing hour long videos and then getting in here and saying and kind of doing the math to say that Cody Rhodes was a mistake.
Yeah, that he was born 20 years after.
Yes, that his siblings are 20 years older than him. That was just just a precise, like a precision burn.
Let's, if you can you give us some context for all of this? I know we're kind of just jumping right in, but let's give some context of Roman, Cody, Rock, Seth. What is going on? What is this all supposed to be leading to? Sure. Yeah, would you mind giving us a little context?
Absolutely. And I, long story short, I think Cody Rhodes came over from AEW, which was huge. There was this big story that everybody really got into that Cody was going to finish his story. And he got to win the Royal Rumble, and then he went up against Roman Reigns at WrestleMania 39. And it seemed like it was a foregone conclusion that Cody Rhodes was going to win, and he lost. And then they took a whole other year. They keep building. They keep building. They have Cody win the Royal Rumble. He stands up on the turnbuckle, challenges Roman Reigns the same night, like reaches, like, I'm coming for you. It was incredible. And then 5 days later, 6 days later, he shows up on SmackDown and instead introduces The Rock as Roman Reigns' challenger. There are a lot of rumors about how this all played out, because there was a rumor that The Rock signed January 3rd, which would have given plenty of time for them to change the story if they wanted to before the Rumble, but they went through with it anyway. Allegedly, The Rock felt that the WWE needed like a home run, and he thought, let's finally do The Rock against Roman Reigns. And people just outright revolted. Like, I believe it was one of the quickest a video of them has ever gotten disliked, and it got up to like 600,000 dislikes. It's probably more at this point. And to their credit, they listened. And instead of doing the more Vince McMahon era of running the WWE, which was to say, you're going to just, you know, screw you, I'm going to do whatever I want, they listened and just pivoted and turned The Rock into a heel. And The Rock now doing things like challenging, like basically saying that Cody Rhodes, if he wants to fight Roman Reigns unencumbered at WrestleMania, he's got to fight The Rock first. So we're going to have The Rock and Roman Reigns against Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes on night one of WrestleMania. And that will decide stipulations for the other two, I believe both matches, the next night. It's really exciting stuff.
Dude, I mean, spinning crap into gold. I mean, this bringing The Rock back, everyone was like, yeah, totally. Let's do this. But then the moment he took the spotlight away from Cody, who we've been rooting for, at least personally, I have been rooting for.
Same. I think everybody.
Everybody, in some way, shape, or form, to finally beat Roman, you know, for that title. It was, like you said, the biggest revolt I think we've seen on the internet when it comes to WWE in a very, very long time. And, you know, The Rock, being a professional, said, okay, let's pivot. Along with the creative team at WWE, and they have, and I honestly feel that what's happening right now will probably go down as one of the best moments with the Bloodline and with The Rock and Cody that'll probably ever come out of the WWE.
Absolutely.
We'll see on the road to WrestleMania, but man,
I'm psyched. I'm really excited for WrestleMania. You know, I think it's
I'm excited. And like we said this past week on SmackDown, again, as we're recording this, Cody smacked The Rock right in the face. And then, boom, SmackDown goes off the air.
Yes!
Biggest cliffhanger of all time.
I was very curious because it's on it was on Fox. It's a little bit more strict time-wise. And when that little SmackDown copyright box showed up in the bottom corner, I was like, are they just going to go to black before this thing finishes? And I feel like somebody must have sent something, and Cody just wham, went for the slap. It was really, could not have timed out better. And these are segments that have notoriously gone long already. I think like the week before, Roman and The Rock were out there for like 40 minutes, something like that. God, it's
and
wild.
If you watch fans in attendance there, there are videos of it. You can literally see the cameramen going, guys, wrap it up. Because The Rock keeps going over, which is incredible. The Rock. You can't stop the man when he gets going.
It's true. Well, and I think hopefully he'll play into that a little bit. I mean, he's a TKO board member. He is the boss in
he can do whatever he wants.
Reality. And we talked about this a little bit on the episode, on our premiere episode, but The Rock did copyright a term called Team Corporate. And I think we are going to see a new corporation type stable led by The Rock, because they need a bad authority figure who can also wrestle. And Triple H, unfortunately, is just never going to get into a ring again. I believe he can't physically. And good for him. Health before wealth. We don't need a Randy the Ram Robinson situation on our hands. A little wrestler reference for everybody.
I'm pretending like I know what you're talking about, but right.
Watch the wrestler. Have a good cry. Okay. That's what I do. Just very exciting stuff. Very exciting.
Well, let me ask you this before we move on to our next story. You'd say the corporation, like for any of us in the Attitude Era of WWE, we know what this is. You know, you had the days of like The Rock and Vince McMahon and this very corporate uptight sort of thing. And then you had the rebels against that. You had the Stone Cold Steve Austins and the more grittier, edgier rebels in the company. Amazing. Probably one of the best storylines and times in WWE history. Do you think, Andrew, that we're maybe heading back towards kind of an attitude era of the WWE? I mean, The Rock is back. He's doing, again, he's doing The Rock better than I think he's done in a very long time. We're seeing a lot more color or blood that's been popping up a lot lately.
That's true.
I mean, The Rock using the F word in these promos on social media. It seems like we are heading towards more of an attitude era. Maybe that PG-13 thing is kind of getting stripped away as maybe, and hear me out, maybe it's because they're heading to Netflix where they'll have a bit more freedom to do what they want over there. Ooh. I don't know. What do you think?
I do think you're onto something, at least like storytelling wise. I don't know if Netflix would necessarily want them to go too hard, if that makes sense. Like, because I do think you still need that wide appeal, especially for something like that. Like, people would want their kids to be able to watch, probably. But it could be some of it, and it could be close. And I think that they're definitely blurring the lines right now. And I think a big part of that is the TKO influence and the UFC influence of things, which we also saw play out this past Friday with the announcement of the Prime Energy drink sponsorship, which, like, it's very UFC to have like logos of things that are paying for your events in the middle.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And in that
same thing, good. This is so good.
Logan, get at us, bud. We love you. I like, just imagine The Rock leading a stable that has Logan Paul and like a Solo Sikoa and I think he'll probably pick people from the bloodline. And I think what might be interesting is we'll see people like Roman Reigns maybe try to come after him. We'll get to see. I think what will be interesting is I do not think yet that they have an anti-authority figure as strong as Stone Cold Steve Austin. That I think is the one missing link for now. I think they could turn somebody into that. I think Cody is too much of a baby face, not in a bad way, but he's too much of a baby face to fill that Stone Cold slot, I think. Stone Cold went over harder than anybody around, but I still like Cody's got his suits and he's a little bit more, he's doing nice, lovely things. Like, he's not spraying beer.
He's like
on
a politician,
anybody.
Man.
Yes, and there's
babies.
And I think Stone Cold was somebody who he could attack anybody, and it would just make sense. You know, he can attack faces, he can attack heels, he can stun Linda McMahon, and nobody would care. Like, it just kind of worked with his character, and I don't think they have anybody like that yet. However, when CM Punk returns, I think that will be his angle. I do think that could be somebody. Like, I know a lot of people want Reigns versus The Rock, and I know some people want Punk versus Stone Cold. And I might be completely changing my tune in 9 months' time. But if you're asking me to early call whatever WrestleMania 41's main event would be, it would be Rock and CM Punk. I don't know how much longer Roman Reigns is going to want to do this stuff. You know what I mean? For good reason.
I know, man.
he's had some really big health scares. He's been like the face of the company for a long time. He might need some time off. I don't see them having him in this match and then having him main event WrestleMania next year. What I do see is The Rock getting to the point where he and CM Punk can throw down next year and have that kind of, CM Punk is that anti-authority figure and they can pull on some very real life examples for that.
So, it's built in, baby.
I do think you are onto something. Long story short.
Okay. Well, yeah, we'll see what happens. This is, and guys, this is what we love, Andrew and I, the story. We cover matches. We love the actual wrestling of professional wrestling. However, you are seeing right now in the WWE some of the best storytelling in a very long time. So for anyone new to wrestling, if you're like, oh, this is so trashy or this is so fake or this, that, give it a try. Like, hear us out. There's a reason we started a podcast about this. There's a reason, you know, we are married or engaged or professionals and still love wrestling, you know? So I think we're heading into some really, really good times. Another renaissance, as it were. Yeah. All right. Let's move to our next news story. This is kind of a touching one. We have to talk about Sting's last match over at AEW.
Yeah.
Look at this, man. If you're just listening, we have up on the screen now, Sting coming out for his very last match at AEW Revolution. And he's got two people with him, Andrew. Would you mind telling us who these two are?
They're his sons. I wish I knew their names off the top of my head. I do not. I think one's name is Garrett. I think but they're basically dressed like Sting from different eras. And it really, I saw a lot of people talking about how, like, you know, WWE has been so bad with retirement matches, either just not doing them when they should be done anyway, or doing them and having it be like, oh, geez, Kurt Angle against, what's his name? The former football player who's right now. And I've softened
Baron Corbin.
There it is. Baron Corbin. He's just that it's just not up to snuff. But I thought AEW did this retirement match great. And him having his sons there were like, it's really touching stuff and really fantastic. And it almost made me forget about one of my least favorite things that happened in the match, which I believe we have ready to watch.
We do. Should I put it up?
Yeah. Right. Let's burn it.
Here we go.
Terrible. I mean, that would be terrible.
That's what they want.
Carelessly by Barney. Oh, God. What have we seen? Look at the blood, my God.
So, at one point in the match, Darby Allin, who was Sting's partner, gets to the top of the ladder, for those who couldn't just see the clip, does a swanton bomb. Lands on plate glass and several chairs, and you could see his back afterwards. It was cut up. It was clearly
disgusting.
Real glass. It was awful. And it's something that I, as a wrestling fan, am just not interested in watching anymore. I think we both made it clear that we love the Attitude Era. There is going to be like stuff that I reference later on that clearly I was okay with things at a time and I have changed as I've gotten older.
Same.
And, you know, things happen. I love Cactus Jack. I would love him even more if his body worked better now, but it doesn't because he did so much for the business and for his career, but that was how he had to stand out. Like, it's just, this stuff doesn't have to happen anymore. Like, it just doesn't. And we're seeing it happen at AEW too much. It's this nostalgia for something that is not needed. There was another Sammy Guevara got suspended because Jeff Hardy maybe got a concussion during a match he was in with him. And Guevara hit his finisher on Hardy afterwards, even though there are concussion protocols that should have stopped him from doing that he just did not follow. And that's irresponsible and it sucks. And it's going to cut a lot of people's careers short. And I just not interesting to me. And to be fair, I don't think that is an overall shot at AEW. Cause I know there is some wrestling that they do that is perfectly safe. And it's it is a risky business. It just is. But when you put that kind of unnecessary risk on there, it turns me off.
When I was 12 years old, I saw something in the sky I couldn't explain. And I've been searching for answers ever since. and I'm inviting you on that search with me every week on the Somewhere in the Skies podcast. With special guest interviews, case history, and audio docs, we ask the tough questions when it comes to UFOs, the paranormal, and the unexplained. New episodes drop every Monday through the E1 Podcast Network, available wherever you get your podcasts and at somewhereintheskies.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You had Sting's last match, which everyone wants to be memorable, which it was. However, for someone like Darby Allin, who clearly has a huge respect for Sting, yeah. I mean, so much that Sting took him under his wing.
Oh, yeah. Sting, and that pairing's Sting, been great. And I like Darby Allin.
His character's great, man. But again, like, when you're overshadowing, like, this dude's last match with this stupid-ass stunt, that we should add, that glass shattered and went into the audience and punctured people in the front row, who then went on to try to sue AEW, and they are not taking any responsibility for that, which is a debate for another time. You know, when you pay for that seat, I'm sure you're warned that things could happen. I don't know how that works. I've never been in the front row of a wrestling event. I hope to someday. We were pretty close.
We were pretty close.
Yeah. But yeah, man, Darby Allin, he's just one of these guys who, I see so much potential, so much talent. Mm-hmm. But to do these sort of stunts, which he's known for, unfortunately, I think is going to really cut his time short. I mean, the dude's going to climb Mount Everest next week or something.
Yeah, I was about to say it might have been his last match too. So, like, because it's just
you shouldn't laugh, but you're right.
Yeah, but you shouldn't climb Mount Everest either. Like, I think it's like 28 people died on Mount Everest last year. Like, and Mount Everest has asked people, the mountain itself, but no, the people around there have asked people to stop climbing up there because they leave trash, they leave equipment, it's not safe. Like, it's just bad. It's bad news. So. You know, yeah.
They jump through glass up there. I don't know. This Guevara thing. Now I have a question for you. Mm-hmm. Okay, so A, how is he supposed to know that Jeff Hardy had a concussion? And B, shouldn't the ref be suspended? I mean, isn't it the referee's job to stop a match? If this was WWE, dude, that X would have been up like immediately. Like, yeah, who is to truly blame for this, or is nobody to fully blame for this?
I would say if they went so far as to suspend him, that means that it was Guevara's fault. I could be wrong about that. We know that AEW has suspended people before for things and for not doing things, but also doing that. Like, it's wonky and it gets weird. I believe though that Jeff Hardy communicated it to the ref and maybe even to Matt Hardy, who I think was ringside. The ref would have communicated it to Guevara. There is almost no doubt in my mind that he knew what was happening and still just went forward with it anyway. Maybe I'm wrong. That we could even say, like, this is a legend. That would be my guess based on the outcome of what happened. Because Guevara is a hot star for them, and for them to take him off the board, at least I respect that they're showing a little responsibility there and showing that, like, that kind of stuff won't fly. So In AEW's defense, Darby Allin spot bad. Suspending Guevara for doing something like this, good.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fair. Yeah. I think, you know, we're seeing a shift with AEW right now. And I think it's for the better. We'll see how everything plays out, but I'm looking forward to following their work tangentially as we head into the best time for WWE, and that is WrestleMania. And Andrew, what happens during WrestleMania time? We get the inductees of the Hall of Fame. And we have basically three, not people, but sort of inductions so far that have been announced. So let me go ahead and pull this up. First, we have Bull Nakano is being inducted. We also have the US Express Tag Team. And last,
we have many episodes about covering matches for each of them that will be on the way soon. Keep your eyes out for those. Our mini episodes where they're basically going to be like match commentaries. It's like you're watching the match with us.
Ah, they were so much fun. Yeah.
So fun.
Bull Nakano and US Express. We've done both of those. But this man right here, man, certainly not least, Paul Heyman. Standing ovation from my seat. I'm not getting up. But Paul Heyman finally being inducted into the Hall of Fame, man. What is your history with Mr. Heyman? And I guess let's dive a little deep into this guy and I guess some of your memories, some of the things you've really enjoyed of his work.
I remember occasionally watching ECW on like very late on Friday nights. And it was like the naughty, like clearly we're not supposed to be watching this because there was a lot of stuff. I remember, there's a match where, if I remember correctly, Raven or Keck, I saw somebody throw a VCR at somebody's head, like just because people would throw stuff in from the crowds. And this guy took a VCR, threw it at somebody's head, and then threw the remote at them afterwards, which really cracked me up. But
insult to injury, baby.
Yeah. But even then, I don't think I really knew who Paul Heyman was. My first real experience with him was when he became one of the Monday Night Raw announcers around the time of the Invasion storyline.
Hello again, everybody, and welcome to the World Wrestling Federation. We're live here in D.C. I'm Jim Ross, and
they already know who you are, so tell them who I am now.
I'm joined by Paul Heyman.
You're joined by Paul Heyman because last Tuesday night, the cat was released by the WWF, and her husband, Jerry the King Lawler, to his credit, walked out right alongside with her. But where there's chaos, JR, there is opportunity. And tonight, just like TNN threw off ECW for the WWF, the king is gone, and in his chair is Paul E, and the E is for Extreme.
It might have even been like right before that. There's just this instant excitement and energy that comes out of him, and it was something that felt like fresh and new and different. And then he just was moved into being one of the best managers that I think the WWE has ever had.
Absolutely.
Like, I was honestly going to think about asking you who your favorite manager is, and this will come up a little bit later, but my rating system for certain things, I like to have exceptions. The go-to I always explain is my favorite episode of Simpsons is the fifth Treehouse of Horror episode, but I don't technically count it because it's got three sets of writers and they would try a lot harder on those episodes. They were special. So if asked, my actual favorite episode is the Lemon Tree of Troy, because that's what everybody is really here for, which is a different episode. But I would have to just kind of rank things separately. So Paul Heyman, like if I'm thinking favorite managers, Paul Heyman isn't part of the discussion because he just it's an instant. He rises above everybody else still. Like, and that was it's been the case. It was the case before and it's the case now. Paul Heyman is somebody you can take a big person or just a wrestler in general who can't talk, doesn't work the mic very well. Roman, I love you, but I would just rather watch you wrestle. And you can just have Paul Heyman talk. And it just works incredibly well. He picks these people who, even if you don't like them at first, if you're a Paul Heyman guy, like there's something to that. And there's a reason. And I think you can just go down the list of people that he's managed over the years. And it's nothing but heavy hitters, like nothing but.
I mean, let's go down the list of maybe some of the more well-known ones. You have CM Punk. Mm-hmm. You have Brock Lesnar,
yep.
Who I know is hot button issue right now, but yep. Say what you will. You got Roman Reigns, obviously. Mm-hmm. But even before that, who was the one? Let me ask you this. Who was the one who, when Stone Cold Steve Austin, before he was Stone Cold, when he was in WCW and he got fired via an email or a letter, a written mm-hmm. letter, saying you're fired by Eric Bischoff, who brought him over to ECW and said, you have a home here and you can do whatever you want, my man?
Really let him let loose. Really let him let loose. I remember reading about Mick Foley talking about that in his book, that Austin got to come over and do some promos that, like, he got to work. He got, like, yeah, like Paul Heyman knows potential. Like, think of all the people from WCW that moved on to be bigger stars on their own right. Rob Van Dam. One of the biggest, who is my choice to induct Heyman into the Hall of Fame, by the way. I'm genuinely curious. Yeah, I think it's probably going to be Punk, because they want to use Punk as much as they can, even though he's injured. But Rob Van Dam would be really fun for me as well, I think, if they did that.
On that note, I think it would be cool. I mean, Heyman has been in this business, this industry, I should say, for a very long time. Mm-hmm. He's done a lot of different jobs, and he's excelled at all of them, in my personal opinion. Did you know that he even managed Mark Calloway at one point?
Really?
The Undertaker?
When he was Mean Mark Calloway?
When he was Mean Mark Calloway. So again, like, we're talking the biggest wrestlers of all time have come
from Big Show for a while? Did he manage Big Show? Yeah, that's another good one. I think Big Show's best big wrestlers that's ever been in there.
Absolutely. Insane. So, I mean, that being said, in terms of who should induct him, that's like an argument I'm hearing on a lot of, you know, these professional wrestlers who do interviews. Like, none of them can decide, like, even for themselves, who should be the ones. I mean, you got the Dudley Boys saying that they want to do it. You've got obviously Punk. Brock is out of the question for obvious reasons. I hope, at least.
There's no way they even scrubbed him from the video game. So, like, No, it's
thank God.
No dice.
Thank God. I think it'd be cool for the first time to have more than one person do the induction. I think it'd be cool to get someone from each sort of era of Paul Heyman's career. Let's get the Undertaker. Let's get Van Damme. Let's get, I don't know, maybe Reigns. I don't know.
I think
it'd be really cool.
Yeah, I even would be fine if they just had, like, several members from ECW do it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, people that they are in touch with. I do think it comes down to, at the end of the day, who do they already have on payroll so they don't have to pay extra? Who do they, you know? And I could be wrong, but I do think that'll be part of it. And who will get them the biggest pop, you know, because I think Heyman is the marquee name this year. And I think you want a marquee name inducting him.
That's a good point.
So we'll see. I do think it's going to be Punk at the end of the day. But I did he even coin the phrase Paul Heyman guy? He might have. I could be wrong about that. Correct me if I'm wrong, please. I love it when people do that.
Correct Andrew in the comments below.
I do honestly love that. I need to learn. I need to grow. So that was not a joke. Correct me if I'm wrong. But I think I just want Punk, too. I think the Dudley Boys I would be happy with, and I would be happy with RVD. But I do think that they will be picking somebody who's more of a WWE favorite than an ECW favorite.
That's fair. Although, my last argument to that, where's WrestleMania taking place?
Oh, Philly.
Where did ECW start?
There you go. Hey, look.
Dude, the possibilities are endless.
You're right. It's going to be Spike Dudley. And you're 100% right. I'm sorry. You're right. Ryan, I don't know what I was thinking. It's going to be Spike. There's no other choice. There's no other choice. And that's not me being me. I love Spike Dudley.
He's still alive, right?
He is still alive. I believe he's a teacher now. Just, you know.
Who am I getting? I'm getting it mixed up with Crash Holly. So forgive me. Forgive me.
Yeah. No, I know. Just bring the mood down real quick. No, it's all right.
Rest in peace.
Ah, yes. Yeah. But yeah. Ah, all love to Paul Heyman. I can't wait. I that was when I heard that as an induction. It just made all the sense, and those video packages are going to be rad. The thing that WWE excels at the most, those sweet, sweet video packages.
Yep. So. And I can't wait to hear Paul's speech as well. Give him an hour.
Same. Legitimately. One of the best.
I would watch him for an hour. Absolutely. Yep. Well, let's stay on Heyman for just a moment because we have a listener question, Andrew, that came in that is again tangentially connected to Mr. Heyman. Mm-hmm. So I'm gonna give the mic over to a gentleman we know very well, and you guys are gonna get to know because he's gonna keep giving us questions, and that is Delonte.
Delonte,
the biggest wrestling fans I think that we know. So
one of the first wrestling fans I met when I moved to New York City. That was literally how we connected. Yep. We were at school together. I saw him across and I was like, I like your DX shirt and shoes. Friends ever since.
That is a meet cute that I can get behind. I love it. Well, let's hear Delonte's first set of questions for us. We will be playing others throughout our upcoming
episode. Delonte gave us a bunch of good questions. We're just going to hold on to them. Yeah,
we're holding on to them preciously. But here's this first one. So you ready for these?
Mm-hmm.
Yo, dudes, congratulations on a great idea. Here's some questions for you. What is your favorite part of the Bloodline story? Where do you believe they are within the timeline of the story?
Okay.
All right.
I love that.
You want to go first?
Sami Zayn. Sami joining. That whole Sami saga was, I think, one of the best, most organic things that they've done in years. It was also WWE wrestling in general. You get a lot of people that think they are funnier than they actually are. And that could be for like most things, but it's because like, and some guys and gals are genuinely funny. Some just don't really have the capacity for it and try to be anyway. And some of the writing is just rough when it comes to trying to do funny stuff. That story, the stuff with Sammy was so funny. And it not only was it so funny, not only did it raise Sammy's profile, I think that raised Jey Uso's profile considerably with the way that he was reacting to everything. And I think that it made the Bloodlines, it injected new life into the Bloodline story and also gave them an extra bump leading into last year's WrestleMania, because I do remember really liking that main event of Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens versus the Usos, one of the greatest tag teams in WWE history. It was just everything about it made sense. It felt high profile. I love tag team matches, and I thought they just did a great job making that feel important and feel fresh and funny and new. And then also get into some wonderful stuff weaving in the history between Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Like, it was just well done. Like, it was, there was no fat. It was just, it went as long as it needed to, and it stopped when it needed to, and it culminated in something big and beautiful. And to just very quickly address Delonte's second question, I think Bloodline's done after WrestleMania. After this.
Really?
After WrestleMania 40. It serves no purpose anymore. I do think we would see something more of, and that depends. And again, lovers, not experts, but I think it could go one of two ways. I'm very intrigued to see who wins that tag match the first night, because I don't think they want Roman to just go out there. If one of the stipulations, so for people who don't know, is that if The Rock and Roman Reigns beat Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins, it means that the Cody Rhodes Roman Reigns match will be Bloodline rules. So they're probably going to interfere and do whatever, which is how Rhodes lost last year.
Yeah.
I think they might want Rhodes to get a clean win and have them win the first night. But then I also, like, you know, I could very easily see it being that Cody, The Bloodline is not welcome at ringside, but then The Rock interferes anyway and makes Roman lose and then says, that's because I'm not in the Bloodline. I have my own thing going, because they've already been teasing a little bit. Anytime the Bloodline stands in there, yeah, The Rock, they're holding up that one finger and The Rock puts that little L out to the side. And I think last week they actually had Paul Heyman like notice. So like they're really playing subtly with
they're playing it.
So I do think it's over after WrestleMania, but I honestly will see. I could see them try to keep it going, maybe do it under another name, but because we usually see such big shifts and I don't think Roman is going to leave WrestleMania with the belt. I think they probably just have him take some time off camera and that'll be the end of the Bloodline, because it's nothing without him.
Okay. That's totally fair. Okay, so I was thinking about this earlier, and I would have to agree. I think the Sami Zayn part of the Bloodline story is probably the best written, the best structured. Mm-hmm. It was genius. It was absolutely genius. Very Shakespearean almost. I loved it. I loved it. However, like, that had kind of started when I was just getting back into wrestling.
Sure, sure.
So I hadn't been really following the arc before that, or even the early stages of that. So I don't really want to say that's my favorite. I'm going to say right now is my favorite.
I love that.
And it's because of this pivot taken and The Rock coming back. I think we're going to get the most visible chunk of the Bloodline story leading up to WrestleMania, and like you said, probably done after that. And I'm going to give a little prediction as well of how I think things are going to play out with that. I think that the Bloodline will interfere on night two during the Cody versus Roman match. I think The Rock's going to come out. And if The Rock isn't playing quote unquote double agent or whatnot, I'm envisioning The Rock coming out, and then what happens? They are surrounding the ring, and what I want to see is every person that the Bloodline screwed over throughout the years
are
walking out. Sami Zayn, Seth Rollins, every single person coming out and making sure that they give Cody his fair match. And then the final moments, dude. You ready for this?
Sure.
Glass break. Stone Cold comes out.
Oh, man.
And we have a face-off between Stone Cold and The Rock. I'm not saying they're going to fight or wrestle. Maybe we see a stunner. But could you imagine Stone Cold and The Rock, who have had some of the best WrestleMania matches of all time, like showing up and making sure that this match goes off without a hitch, as it should? That is my huge fanfic.
Hey, look,
fantasy, but
and I think I at the very least I think they're going to pull out all the stops for that match.
I
could see something like that, because it's a culmination of years of storytelling. I think you're probably onto something. Even though it kind of goes against what I was saying earlier about CM Punk against The Rock next year, if they are trying to do Roman Reigns against The Rock next year, they're going to set that up on 19. They're going to set that up.
Point.
They're probably more than likely. But then that also depends, because there's also been rumors that The Rock will be wrestling at the Saudi Arabia event that they do in May. So they might be keeping him on TV and keeping things going, which I could see him again just... It's tough. I think it comes down to how much they want to protect Roman Reigns' legacy. And I think that to do that, he's probably not going to have a clean loss. I wouldn't be too surprised if it happened, but I would be pretty surprised if they just had Cody and Cody beat Roman with zero interference or zero, it's a clear, clean win. But we'll see.
Yeah. Got to keep that ball in the air, baby. We'll see. We'll see.
We got some more wrestling questions, some fan questions to round things out.
This one is going to be super fun. This comes from Rob. He is the host of the Our Strange Skies podcast. So my UFO people are probably quite familiar with this voice. So I'm going to go ahead and play his questions. These were pretty fun.
What is up, gentlemen? This is Rob Christofferson from the Our Strange Skies podcast. First and foremost, I would like to acknowledge my friends, my pod friends over here at Somewhere in the Ring, throwing those ones up for you right now. I can't tell you how excited I am for this podcast. Like, this is going to be amazing. So I've got a couple of questions for you. First question, if you say you're going into a bar, you go up to the jukebox and you can pick any wrestling theme song of all time to throw on there. You know, you're going to get weird looks and everything like that, unless you're picking like Cult of Personality or something like that. But what song are you going to pick from that jukebox? I got to know. Second question. You know, people will always ask you, who's your favorite wrestlers of all time? But what I want to know is, who are your favorite jobbers of all time? Who are your Barry Horowitz level guys that you love to see take pins in the ring? I got to know. Thanks, guys.
Rob, thank you.
Those are great.
Fantastic question. I want to answer the jobber one first because I just looked up this guy's name.
What is a jobber?
Great point. For some who might just be lovers as well. A jobber is somebody who will wrestle a match. If you need to see somebody, like if somebody has like a return or they just want them to go out and have a squash match where they beat somebody really quick just to show up their strength, but they don't want to affect someone else's profile. A jobber is somebody who probably doesn't have like a character, might just be using their real name, is billed as a local wrestler. You might not even see their entrance on TV. And they're somebody who their whole job is to go out there, make the wrestler look good, and lose the match, right?
Yeah.
And my person for that is Dwayne Gill, also known as Gilbert, I got to meet Gilbert when I was younger, so there's a little bias here, but I had a picture of him choking me somewhere, like a Polaroid. Who knows where it is now?
Oh my God, fine.
I asked him to. But it's Gilbert for me, because I just thought that was to take a jobber and then use that jobber to make fun of one of the more successful wrestlers at the time. It's pretty great.
That is so great. He's actually mine too. I'm not going to lie. To piggyback off of you, to play it easy. Dwayne Gill. Here's some of the wrestlers that he did jobs for. You ready? Tatanka, The Undertaker, Legion of Doom, Lex Luger, Christian, Doink, Mr. Perfect, Razor Ramon, and he also participated in the 1999 Royal Rumble. Maybe. So, I mean, you know, say what you will about being a jobber. Like, this dude was making bank. He was wrestling. He's not what you would envision as a wrestler a lot of the time. But, man, like, he had a healthy, good, long career with and he was also a champion. He became the light heavyweight champion at one point.
Sure.
So, say what you will about jobbers.
And I think we can, since we're both Attitude Era fans, I think I can throw out a quick shout out to the Job Squad, a stable that was created almost entirely. It was Al Snow, Blue Meanie, some ECW guys, Stevie's last name? But like jobbers, it was a group of jobbers. But I thought like, so always fun. Mad respect for jobbers on this podcast.
Dude, that sounds like the Sinister Six. Is that what it was? No. Yeah. Who were the reject villains of Spider-Man? Didn't they have their own group?
I think CM Punk wrote the foreword to that comic book, actually, too.
Really?
I wish I could remember. That's going to drive me nuts.
I know.
That's a Nick Spencer comic
Shocker.
Book. That's a great comic. Yeah, it was like Shocker, Boomerang. Oh, here, tell us your wrestling theme. Answer Rob's other question while I look up the name of that comic book.
Done. So Rob's other question, guys, was what song would we want to play on a jukebox if we were out at a bar? And look, there's so many theme songs I'm sure Andrew and I would rock out to. But for me, I went with the following. So we're just going to play a little portion because we don't want to get hit with too much copyright strike on our first episode. So I'm going to go ahead and play this for you guys. This is my choice for best song I would want to hear on a jukebox. Okay, Woo! That's enough. I can already see a copyright strike. Dude, you are
excellent choice.
You are jamming out. I love it. Shinsuke Nakamura.
I've been loving the work that Pat McAfee has been doing in WWE. And him always getting up on the table and dancing to that song makes me want to get up and dance. So that's a great choice. Really quick, the comic was called The Superior Foes of Spider-Man, which I highly recommend looking up. It's hilarious. And it was written by Nick Spencer and drawn by Steve Lieber, both two of like the best comic creators out there. Just really fun stuff. Look it up. That's the name of that comic. Now I don't have that digging in my brain the rest of the day. And now I will give you my choice as well. Just go ahead and play it, and I'll explain it afterwards.
All right.
You know, SOS, I hear them shouting. SOS, I hear them crying.
I just want to play the whole thing, dude.
Oh, God, I know. I'm just rocking out over here. I love that. That was awesome. Son, Cody, there was a time when I think that no one's entrance matched Kofi Kingston's in the slightest. It was exciting. It was dynamic. I would just get fired up. I actually, one of the first Monday Night Raw I ever attended was with Delonte, actually, at MSG. We got to see Kofi Kingston against Randy Orton, and just that entry, it was unlike anything else. He was exciting. He was magnetic. He was energetic. He was pretending to be Jamaican. That's not his fault. Just incredible, incredible stuff. And I don't know if I'd even get any weird looks at a bar.
I don't think
that
so.
Song, right?
No, man, cool. That sounds like you throw that on at like a tiki bar or something like that. Like you're good to go. Like that's a couple margaritas. You listen to SOS and then you head out back and you smoke a fat one.
Okay.
With mine,
thank you, Rob.
You're going to go kick some ass with, I don't know, the Yakuza or something. I don't know. I love Shinsuke. I love him, love him, love him. So those were our choices.
Mm-hmm.
Rob, I hope you enjoyed those, and I hope we don't get too much of a copyright strike on that, but we shall see, Andrew. We shall see. All right. We've got one more listener question.
Let's do it.
Do you mind?
Wrap it up.
All right. Let's do it. Let's do it. This comes from my good friend, Andy, in Scotland, actually, of all places.
Cool.
I mean, he lives in England, but you're going to tell by this man's accent that he's from a little place that I like to call home right now. So here is Andy.
Hi, guys. Good luck on the new podcast. I know you're going to cover a lot of the basics in the early episodes. I would like to know from each of you, from each wrestling generation, what are your favorite pay-per-views and why? So looking from the old school Hogan WWF era, the New Generation era, the Attitude era, Ruthless Aggression era, PG era, e.g. the Cena era, and up to now as well. Personally, Backlash 2001 and SummerSlam 2000 always stood out massively for me. Those were like peak days for me. Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Andy.
Cheers,
also,
Andy.
Your mother has an excellent taste in names, so congrats. Ryan, go ahead. Kick us off. Favorite pay-per-view. Because I think we discussed this a little bit before. I don't know if I could pick one from every era, but then Andy also said, like, he just named two that seem from, like, the same era. And again, thank you so much for the question. So, favorite pay-per-view. What's
out
in your main?
First of all, I love how Andy says era. I love it. Love it.
Just it like,
makes me feel like I'm home.
Sounds beautiful, man.
I have to add also, Andy was featured on an episode of Ancient Aliens this past Friday on the History Channel.
Congrats, covering, Andy.
Yeah, man. Covering Scotland, the mysteries
what's
of
his,
Scotland.
What's his full name so people can look that up?
Absolutely. He's the host of That UFO Podcast, mm-hmm. and his name is Andy McGrillin.
Incredible. Incredible. Andy, thanks for the question. Congrats on getting on Ancient Aliens. That's rad.
Yeah, he did a wonderful, wonderful job. Nice. However, and I had to give him some shit about this, they had to put subtitles under am talking.
I am offended for you. I could understand you just fine, Dagnabbit.
It's the best Scottish accent that, trust me, I hear it every day here. Andy has the voice of an angel, a Scottish angel, an Highlander angel. So, gosh. All right. Here we go. Here we go.
Highlanders can't go to heaven.
That's sorry, true. They're immortal. Ryan, you know this. You know this.
Favorite pay-per-view. Lay it on me.
Favorite pay-per-view. We're going to go with one favorite pay-per-view from any era to kind of condense it. I'm going with, Andrew, WrestleMania 17.
Okay.
You ready?
Lay it on me. How come? I love that one. I love that one. It was almost my choice.
Ooh, I'm glad you didn't choose it then. Because it also has my favorite match of all time. That's kind of why I chose it. But listen to this card, dude. WrestleMania 17, 2001. This isn't all the matches, but it's a good chunk of them. Chris Jericho defeated William Regal for the Intercontinental Championship. Mm-hmm. Taz in the APA defeated Right to Censor in a six-man tag team. Guerrero defeated Test for the European Championship.
Eddie Guerrero?
Eddie Guerrero, yes.
Yep.
Kurt Angle defeated Chris Benoit in a singles match. Shane McMahon defeated Vince McMahon. Remember that whole storyline when the family...
I do, when Linda was catatonic in a wheelchair for most of it or something.
Mm-hmm, with Trish Stratus by Vince's side and... Who was?
I'm just gonna say it. None of that stuff has aged well, but
not one bit. Moving on.
Oh Jesus!
Yeesh. We had a gimmick royale that saw the Iron Sheik win. Mm-hmm. We had Undertaker defeating Triple H in a singles match.
I remember that.
We had my all-time favorite match, which was TLC 2. Which featured Edge and Christian, Dudley Boyz, and the Hardy Boyz. Amazing match. I will go in depth on that another time.
We'll have to watch that at some point for a mini episode. Yeah, absolutely. We'll do that for
a mini episode.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And then the main event at this WrestleMania was none other than Stone Cold Steve Austin and The Rock, a no DQ match for the championship in which Stone Cold defeated The Rock. So, that's my all-time favorite, 2001 WrestleMania 17.
And remind me or correct me if I'm wrong, didn't Vince McMahon, wasn't that the beginning of like corporate Stone Cold? Was that night?
I believe it was, the whole twist at the end.
Yeah, when Vince helped Stone Cold win the match, because I do remember being a good little boy that I was at the time. I knew I had school the next morning, and I went to bed before that match and didn't even fall asleep. It was just like, no, we have to get up early tomorrow. So my younger brother stayed up. I'm doing it for no reason. No reason other than pride, I guess. Dumb. So that's great. That's a great choice. We can't talk about that without the this time I'm gonna let it all come out.
Oh my god, man!
Stand up and shout. I'm gonna do things my way. It's my way. I cannot. I don't know if there's a song I've heard more just with how frequently they play those.
Oh my god! I think it's just ingrained in my memory.
Yes.
Limp Bizkit, baby. Those were the days.
Yes,
2001,
Limp Bizkit, baby.
Let me ask you this, Andrew. Would you do it all for the Nookie?
Okay. All right. Moving on.
Moving on.
Mine. WrestleMania 2000. Now, I will say, it was almost going to be No Way Out 2000 because I liked that one as well, and the lead up to WrestleMania 2000 was great. But I love WrestleMania 2000. Probably my favorite pay per view of all time. I mean, these kind of things, Andy. I appreciate and love the question. These things might shift and change. I might have a different answer a year from now. Who knows? But when I think of pay per views, I think of WrestleMania 2000. I think of how excited I was for that. The video game, like the working in those storylines. We have Big Boss Man and Bull Buchanan against Godfather with Ice-T doing his intro, the Pimpin' Ain't Easy, man. Cause I believe they had like that Attitude Era, like the CD that came out at the time. And this is all from memory aside from reading the matches. But it was Godfather and my man's D'Lo Brown, who I love so much. Yes. We had a hardcore battle royal with, I'm not going to name all these people, but a lot of people. we had, TNA against Al Snow and Steve Blackman, a tag team championship ladder match with Edge and Christian, the Dudleys, and the Hardy Boys, which was kind of planting the seeds of those TLC matches. Like, I think we could even do that because we've got you got this one. Oh man, was WrestleMania 17 2001? Is that why?
Yeah.
I guess it must have been, because then you had a TLC match, the first one at SummerSlam that year, and then TLC 2 at that WrestleMania.
Yep.
A cat fight between Terry and the Cat, aptly titled. I'm so good. It's just so much happier. Women get to wrestle now instead of a cat
Can you believe
fight.
It?
Good Lord. Too Cool in China against the Radicals. I remember being psyched when the Radicals first showed up in the WWE. That was such a huge deal. Dean Malenko, Chris Benoit, and Eddie Guerrero. Or no, it was Dean Malenko, Eddie Guerrero, because Chris Benoit wrestles elsewhere on the Perry Saturn, there it is.
Okay.
So just some of the best WCW had to offer jumping over. Then we had a triple threat match for both the Intercontinental and European titles that had
two Chris titles Jericho. In one match.
Yes, because it was two falls. So you had Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho, and Kurt Angle, and Chris Benoit won the Intercontinental title. And no, yes, and then Jericho won the European title. So Angle had both titles and lost them both, despite never getting pinned. And then you had Kane and Rikishi against Road Dogg and X-Pac. And then you had one of the best main events, I would argue, in WrestleMania history, a four-way title match between Triple H, The Rock, Mick Foley, and Big Show, each of them with a different McMahon family member at their side. Wild stuff. I think it's just... It was a different era. It was moving into, it was almost like moving out of the Attitude Era. It always cracks me up that neither Stone Cold nor The Undertaker were a part of that. I think The Undertaker would maybe come back later that year as the American Badass Undertaker. It was just a wild time. Like, to get to Andy's point, that is like just a time that I remember very well. So that pay-per-view sticks right in my head and I love it. I'll probably put it on tonight.
Nice. I think I might do the same. I haven't. Yeah, that one isn't really ringing a bell, so I might not.
Ooh,
have
Ryan, watch. At the very least, watch that ladder match.
At the very least.
That's that, because that's what all of a sudden tables come out. There had to have been chairs, and then I think they just, let's just call this what it is eventually. Yeah.
Let's call a spade here, guys. We got TLC. Mm-hmm. 1 and 2 coming your way. Awesome, man. Well, hey, we have plenty of more listener questions on the shelf. We will get to them, guys.
Thank you for submitting.
Yes, we are. We are also going to release some of our answers to the questions in our previous recording of our pilot episode. So be on the lookout for that as well.
And one of them is already up on our YouTube channel. Yes. Two of them might already be up. So please check those out. Head over to YouTube. Find us on Twitter, shoot us an email, find us on Instagram. Like I said, keep a close watch on the YouTube channel because I will be streaming 2K24 on there once I figure out how to do that. And we're just going to have fun. We're really excited to keep this going. We're so excited to create this little community and just talk about wrestling with y'all. And check out our mini episodes, which we'll start releasing soon. That are basically just match commentaries. We watch the matches with no sound, so you can play our commentary over the match while you're watching it. And it's like watching the match with us. It's a lot of fun.
It really is. I'm having a ball doing those.
If
you are watching right now, you can reach us, guys, at somewhereinthering@gmail.com. That is the best way to get in touch with us. Otherwise, look up Somewhere in the Ring on Twitter, on Instagram. We're on those as well. We've got a website, somewhereinthering.com. And also, last but not least, Andrew, I do want to mention we already have merch.
Yeah!
So you can buy our merch during episode one. Help us celebrate the premiere of Somewhere in the Ring with our official merchandise, with our official logo that I should stress comes to us from a brilliant designer named Miguel Romero. You can check out his website at absurdbydesign.wordpress.com.
Love that.
He does great work. He does commissions, and he created this for us. I love it.
And if you please, if you get one of these, if you get a shirt, you get a sweater, get a mug, sticker, whatever, take a pic, tag us, let us see. It would make us extremely happy. So please have at it. Thank you so much. I got to get me one of them shirts. Look nice.
Absolutely.
I want my face on my chest.
I was going to say, boost our egos, guys. Yeah. That's what wrestling is all about.
It's true.
Andrew. Brian. We did it, man. We did our first official episode. I want to give a special shout out and thank you to both the E1 Podcast Network and Lionsgate. They are our new family here at Somewhere in the Ring.
And we love them. So
very special thank you to them for bringing us into their family. We can't wait to see where this show goes. We hope you will continue to follow us and join us somewhere in the ring. And any parting words, Andrew, before we let the audience go here and go home for the night?
Ryan, I love you, and I love talking about wrestling with you. There's my parting words. Me
too, buddy. I love it. I absolutely love it. Ring that bell. Match is over, guys. Thank you for joining us on Somewhere in the Ring.
Woo!
Show those belts, baby. There it is.
There it is.
Damn, that's heavy. Ooh.
This has been Somewhere in the Ring. Thank you for listening. Subscribe wherever you get your pods, and be sure to rate and review on Apple, Spotify, or wherever possible. We'll see you again soon, Somewhere in the Ring.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.